The following program is a paid advertisement. The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it, and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth! Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Flood.
King of Crash.
The Colossus of Cloud. The Colossus of Cloud.
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Eric Ostrowski, taking your phone calls. With questions about the value of your collectibles, the number is 312-332-3776. You can give us a call if you have an item you think might be valuable, something that might go in a Huggins and Scott auction. We'll be reading off some prices of some items that sold in the November Huggins and Scott auction, what they ended up going for. We might have a which ended higher quiz or two going today.
I'm ready for it too. I'm ready.
I've got some tricky ones for this week too. So we'll see what we do with the rest of the show. We're giving away a Chicago Cubs World Series Champions Big Book of Activities and a Donruss Football Factory set. Last week's winner that Vince announced at the end of the show didn't email Vince at ERC Delivery by Thursday. So the prize goes along to this week. So give us a call, 312-332-3776, or you can tweet a picture of an item to my attention. T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID, and if we use that on the show, you'll get in the drawing that way also. So now in the most recent auction, there are lots of great stuff. Once again, so there were some basketball collectibles. Basketball, yes. Is hot. The vintage basketball cards and going up into the 80s, the Michael Jordan stuff, some really good prices on some basketball items. For instance, there was a 1972-73 Topps basketball uncut sheet, 132 cards on that sheet, and a Dr. J rookie was on there. That's half of the 264-card set. That went for $4,000 for that uncut
sheet.
Very
nice. Very nice.
Bill, there can't be a whole lot of the vintage cut sheets hanging around. Do you see stuff like that very often?
No, we usually get one or two sometimes each auction, and they always do very well. You get into the 70s and uncut sheets and on back, and they're just very, very highly sought after. And with the technology today, what a lot of guys are trying to do with those is isolate the key cards, and if they have no creases or no bends or no rolls on them, they can cut those things and they have a good shot at 10.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I have some 80s cut sheets rolled up somewhere in the
bathroom.
Really? those might never be anything.
Well, let me know when you can do it. I'll bring over my scissors.
Right.
Soak those in kerosene and they burn during the
week. Yeah, right. There's a lot of those around, without a doubt. Oh, what was the other basketball? Well, this isn't bad. I don't think Ronald Reagan played basketball. He might have been a baseball player. I think he was a radio announcer for a while, actually. But pretty good price on a Ronald Reagan 1990 signed first edition copy of the book An American Life, numbered to 2,000. That went for $2,300.
Very nice.
Yeah, I thought that was a good buck for a more recent president. I think he's one of the higher of the more recent presidents. Bill, are you at Rosemont this weekend, or is Ricky there?
Ricky's there. Thursday I was trying to beat this cold I have, which I'm doing better. But So he went for me. He's been there since Friday, and I think, did you meet him, Vince, there?
Oh, yeah, yep, I saw Ricky there. He had a bunch of consignments and people coming in, and it was a great show, a lot of people.
So that's the Fanatics show in Rosemont. So Ricky Huggins is there. If you have something you think might be good in a Huggins and Scott auction, you can find Ricky Huggins there and check it out. He's usually the guy that'll, he's usually at the office a lot. He and Ryan, if somebody brings something into T-Crown and I'm debating whether it's worth sending or not, I'll call there and one of those two guys always, and they're right on top of things. They know. They really know their stuff for, you know,
for sure. Outward. It's like a chip off the old block.
Yes.
You know, talking to different people.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
He's been doing that probably most of his life, huh, Bill, hanging around cards?
Well, actually not. I mean, really, he grew up, you know, that's what dad did for a living. And while he was going through grade school and high school even, it was not really much. And then he graduated college. And I'm like, well, what are you going to do? And he says, oh, I don't know. I'm going to the store in the summer of the, after he graduated, and 7 years later, he's still there.
Ah, very good. Yeah, that worked out, that's for sure. All right.
Yeah, all his friends, when they were kids, said, Kip, leave, you're not into cards. Your dad owns a freaking card store.
Yeah, right. Right. I think, you know, it's they kind of, my kids are kind of like that, too. I have two sons, and like at a holiday, we'll do a split, and they always like it, but they're not really into collecting. Yeah, I think you just see so much of it. It's like, I don't know, maybe not as exciting as it would be to somebody who's not in it so much.
As soon as I walked into the show and just kind of spanned with my eyes the whole place, it just the adrenaline. Just a shot of adrenaline. It's amazing.
Vince, on the other hand, is in the collecting.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sure is. Okay, Vince, here we go. Which ended higher? We've got to get some sort of like an opening or something for that, a little music to go with it, like away we go, whatever. Okay, a 1954 Bowman Ted Williams SP short printed card. Number 66, a PSA 7. I don't see that card very often, the 54 Bowman Ted Williams. So a PSA 7, 54 Bowman Ted Williams, a 1954 Bowman card number 65, PSA 7. That's Mickey Mantle.
Hmm.
Or a 1955 Topps Roberto Clemente rookie card number 164, graded SGC 5. So it's a 54 Bowman Ted Williams PSA 7. Oh, there we go. Yeah. A 54 Bowman Mickey Mantle PSA 7, or a 55 Topps Roberto Clemente SGC 5. What do
you think? So I don't think you're gonna trick me, so, but at the same time, they're all very good cards. I'm gonna have to go with the Clemente 55 Topps.
Okay. And you would be...
Come here, Mick.
Wrong.
Was it the Mantle? That was my second choice.
And you would be...
Come here, Mick.
Right again. Well,
I had it
you
upside
got it
down.
With your third choice.
There you
you
go.
Did
the
have
Ted
it
Williams.
Upside down.
Yeah,
that
the short print
that was. Okay, the Clemente in a 5 went for $1,400. Mantle in a 7, $1,500. I tried to give you a hint there by saying the Ted Williams was an SP.
Right, right.
That went for $2,600. Wow. Bucks. Bill, do you see that one very often? I literally never see that card.
It's very tough to find. I mean, a lot of the books list the set as, you know, kind of complete without that, you know.
Yeah.
It's sort of an add-on, you know.
Yeah, right. So that it did really well. Sevens are nice cards, too. Yeah. I mean, they really are. Fives can look nice, but when you look at them closer, there's usually something that a fairly good flaw in there if you've got a five.
And when you said SP, I thought, now is he saying that to try to divert me or
see,
to try to sell it?
I was kind of thinking maybe I would do that. I didn't. Yeah. Am I throwing you off track or am I not throwing you off track? The number here is 312-332-3776. You can give us a call if you have an item you think might be valuable. We'll try to give you an estimate of what it might sell for if, let's say, you put it in a Huggins and Scott auction. Or we'll tell you if it's even worthwhile putting it in or not. This can be sports, pop culture, political, whatever. And we have a prize package which includes a 2016 Donruss football factory set. And this is kind of fun. The Chicago Cubs World Series champions big book of activities. It's one of those things that has puzzles and lot of different things. The dots. Yeah, you can play things like a kid's thing. Yep, it would be a lot of fun. Or an adult that
actually,
likes
that. Actually, yes. An adult of about 52. Yeah. Perfect gift.
Right. So you can get those at on Amazon, that little activity book, Barnes & Noble and independent booksellers around Chicago. Now, the Donruss Football Factory said we were talking about, it's a really good rookie class this year. I've got on eBay, my T Crown Tom eBay seller ID, a couple of rookies that are starting to play now. A Jared Goff prestige rookie autograph. He finally is starting now. He was behind
today.
Case Keenum all this time. It's like, is Jeff Fisher just an irritatingly bad coach? or was Goff didn't look that bad in the preseason. Why he waited this long? I don't know. Is Goff not picking up defenses? Is he not able to audible? What the deal is? He sure looks like he has a talent, so I'm hoping he does well. And then, did you notice that Seattle got rid of Kristen Michael and he ended up with
Green Bay.
So I don't know how much he'll play for Green Bay, but I've got a CJ Procease Immaculate Double Patch autographed card numbered to 99. On my T Crown Tom eBay seller ID. I guess Seattle really likes him. Looks like he's going to be the main back.
Yeah,
now
he had a great week last week. But they did activate Rawls
yeah,
for
so
this game today.
Yeah, so he'll be splitting it with them.
Yep.
But it looks like Procease is really fast. He can catch the ball. So it'll be interesting to see how they use him with Seattle now. Kristen Michael is the weirdest thing.
He keeps getting cut and then getting signed and then released and back to Seattle.
He'll have a 100-yard game for somebody. He looks good, and then all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, he'll be gone. It's like, what's with it with that guy? Does he not block? Is he something? What is it with him that he doesn't stick with the team? It's a really weird story.
But he's good enough to attract, some suitors. So, we'll see what he does with Green Bay.
He always ends up with somebody else, and the Packers were dying for a running back. I think from a fantasy purpose, I don't know that he's going to play much this week. But who knows? If he starts gaining yards and they don't need him, I don't know. He might just play. It'll be interesting. I think I dropped him from my one fantasy team. But I don't know if I want to pick him up again or not. I don't know. But I had to pick up with Jordan Howard and Langford now. I don't know how hurt Jordan Howard is because with Fox as the coach, you never hear anything. So I didn't know what to do with that one. So I ended up picking up both of them, and I'm going to probably.
Good luck with that. Yeah, the Bears are just stay away, please.
Well,
stay
they've got to run the ball to me. They've got a pretty good defense. If they've got to run the ball, especially now Alshon's out, you got to run the ball. If you can't do that, then oh well. So we'll see. Moving on past that. Let's see some other items that ended in the Huggins and Scott November auction. Oh, what were some cool things here? This is kind of interesting. A 1923 World Series Yankees at Giants, Game 4 program. The game was at the Polo Grounds. The game was scored, and it was in excellent condition. Now, I think this World Series was Babe Ruth's first Yankees World Series. For $1,500, I did a little research on the Polo Grounds, actually. This was actually the third Polo Grounds. The original ones were for polo, I guess. Then the second one was both. But this one was built in 1890 and renovated after a fire in 1911. It was home to the Yankees from 1913 to 22. And it was actually home to the Mets in 1962 and 63.
Really? Huh.
And then the New York Giants baseball team from 1891 to 57. So a lot of players passed through the Polo Grounds. The last sporting event there, though, was a football game, Jets versus the Bills on December 14th, 1963. Shea Stadium opened in 64, and the Polo Grounds was demolished over a four-month period that year. So that was kind of interesting.
It is,
get that. Well, I'll see something and it makes me think of something else, and then you look into it and get some kind of interesting facts.
And then you put it all together and
nice, it turns out to something where 2,000 people just changed channels. But speaking of the amazing Mets, The 1969 Amazing Mets World Series Games 3 and 4 at Shea Stadium. That was the year they won. Nobody expected them to win, and they had been so bad every year leading up to that. They win the division, pass the Cubs up late in the year, and then won the World Series. Well, this is a full ticket lot of two. Game 3, Nolan Ryan actually got the save in that game.
Really?
Isn't that something? A PSA 6 graded ticket, that one. And then Game 4, Tom Seaver wins, and he pitched 10 innings in that game. PSA 5, the lot of those two tickets went for $825. If you were a Mets fan, went to those games, you got some pretty good money with those tickets.
Sure.
Okay, it's time for a short break. The number is 312-332-3776. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We're giving away a Donruss football factory set and a Chicago Cubs World Series Champions big book of activities. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
That's Matt Stillwell. He's a country singer. Started following me on Twitter, so I thought I'd look him up on iTunes. I found that it sounded like, I'm not into country music really, but like we were saying, if somebody does something well, I don't care what genre of music, I'll listen to it if it's done right, done well.
That was a good song. Yeah, we were both jamming to it for a while there.
Yeah,
you know?
I saw he had like 22,000 followers, so any musicians that follow me, if they do that, I'll find something. If I like a tune, we'll play it and give him a little promo here.
Sure.
Matt Stillwell is his name. He had a lot of stuff on iTunes, so pretty interesting. Bill, you into country music at all? What type of music you listen to?
Oh, I'm kind of like what you just said. If it's good and sounds good, it works for me.
Yeah, I agree. If it, you know, if it makes you click your fingers and tap your foot, why not? Now, here's something that's a little different. This isn't a witch-ended hire. But I have this is a question for both of you. Actually, there's two parts here. I got a Ken Griffey Sr. autographed card out of that Topps Archives Signature Series where they have a buyback card.
Sure.
Most of them are from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s are the buybacks.
What was it, number two?
I think it was to like 14, maybe, something like that. So it wasn't bad, but it was Ken Griffey Sr. And I thought to myself, he was actually a good player. And here's a couple of things. Now, I don't want you to think I'm trying to trick you, but maybe I am, okay? I've got two different stats here. Number one, well, here's something interesting. Both Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr., they each had 10 seasons where they stole 10 or more bases. Isn't that something?
That is pretty cool.
Each one of them had that. Which one stole more bases over their career? Ken Griffey Jr. or Ken Griffey Sr.?
I'm pretty confident Ken Griffey Sr.
Okay, and Bill, what do you think?
Oh, I'll go Jr.
Why not?
When Billy Vince, had two choices.
Yeah, when Vince is confident, you usually go the other way. But Vince is right this time, yes. Okay, over the course of their career, Senior stole 200 bases, Junior 184, and Senior had the 34 one year. The most Junior ever had was 24, I think.
Just another big red machine, you know. It was a lot of small ball. You know, they had some power guys. They ran a lot. Joe Morgan.
Senior was fast.
I mean, yeah.
Not a really good defensive player like Junior was, but he was fast and a good hitter. Now, here's another one between the two of them. Which one had the higher lifetime batting average, Junior or Senior?
Bill, you go first on this one. And I'll go the other way.
I'll stick with Junior.
All right, I'll go with the older guy. I'll go with the dad.
Look at Vincent. He's got it again.
Well, that was just lucky.
Senior hit 296, Junior 284.
Wow.
Isn't that something? Yeah. Now, every other category for the, I don't know, maybe triples or something. I didn't look at some of that stuff. But home runs, RBIs.
Gold gloves, Schwager,
yeah, home runs. All that stuff. Griffey Jr., yeah, and Senior will never make the Hall of Fame. But it just shows Senior was a very good offensive player. He was really fast, a good contact hitter, gap hitter.
But didn't they play together on the same team, 91 or 92, something like that?
They hit back-to-back homers
at one
time.
That's pretty special.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah, that must have been neat to have. That might be the only father-son to ever play together on the same team that
can't
I can think of.
Think another
of.
One.
Yeah, we have Dave from Naperville is on the line. What do you have there, Dave?
Well, I've got something kind of unique, and I may have called you about it a couple of years ago, but I think it's probably worth a little more now. Back when I was about eight, I went to a Cubs Cardinals game with my dad, and he kept a scorecard of a game between Bob Gibson and Kenny Holtzman.
Oh.
I
bet that game didn't go 4 hours, Gibson. I was at an opening day one year. It was Gibson and Fergie Jenkins. I'm pretty sure that was in the opening day matchup. I think it went in under 2 hours.
Wow. Yeah, believe that.
It was probably a 1-0 game, too.
Yeah, I think Billy Williams might have hit a home run to win that game. I might be completely wrong. It might have been some other, you know how you kind of get games jumbled together in your mind when it was that long ago.
Well, this one ended up about 4-1, and Lou Brock let off, and my dad did the scorecard, and I actually got Ernie Banks and Billy Williams autographs on the program.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And I'm wondering what Huggins and Scott might, you know, what you guys think that might be worth if I put it in your next catalog.
Do you think that would be worth putting in a Huggins and Scott auction, Bill?
Well, I'm thinking it's probably more of a $75 to $100 item, something in that range.
Yeah, it might be. You might like it at in a store in Chicago. It might be a little higher than that, maybe $150 with the two of them on there, depending on how it looks. And are they both signed on the cover? Or are they on opposite sides of the program?
Actually, Ernie Banks signed on the cover, and Bill Williams signed on the inside, and then I got Larry Gura
signed
as well.
Yeah, that doesn't really tie in that well with it.
I know.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't. Yeah. He was just kind of a nobody.
Yeah, you know, it might just end up be that I think if it's authenticated and with Ernie Banks on the cover, you're probably going to be able to get $100 or so for it. But I think that almost with that combo in there and everything, it might almost be more of a keepsake and a conversation piece than the value of an item being that good. Whenever if you have guys that like Hall of Famers on an item, you don't want to add a non-Hall of Famer to it. Or if you have guys from a same team, you don't want to add a guy from a different team, unless it's just multiple Cub guys from all generations. Right. But I would say, actually, it might not be a bad one if you like to do it. That would be an item you'd take and get some other guys to sign it then.
Or you make it a part of a larger collection, maybe frame it up and some other Ernie Banks stuff.
Yeah. Now, if it was just Billy Williams and Ernie Banks and they were both on the cover and it was nice and it was in a frame, you might even be $200 on that now if they're authenticated, and, you know, in a store in Chicago, but not under that setup. There's always typically there is something that's not quite right with something or whatever. Now, here's something interesting that came in from a listener. It's going to be in the Huggins and Scott February auction. I don't know if you saw this, Bill, but this was a relative of somebody else who had consigned and listens to the show, and he had some poor condition, but a great player selection of Carmel cards, these early 1900s, some tobacco cards, but mostly Carmel cards with Honus Wagner, Ty Cobb, Christy Mathewson, great player selection, poor condition, but great player selection. Then he also had some nicer 1953 Topps cards. He had a couple of them graded. They were, I think, sixes and six and a half, so real nice. And he had another 50 or so cards. But he actually just found the empty 1953 Topps box of packs that he got that he used to open the packs from. He found that box. That might turn out to be more than the 53 cards, but I think that's going to be a nice lot, Bill, don't you think? The 53 cards along with the empty 53 Topps box. I think the box by itself might be a grand.
Yeah, it really depends on whether it's the 1 cent or the 5 cent box. But if it's intact and in nice shape and everything, those bring quite a bit of money.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting lot. I like that. I really like it. Just if you're, let's say you wanted to start collecting a 1953 top set, and they're nice condition cards, at least mid grade, I think virtually all of them. And you get the Topps box with it. That's just a neat collection. Yes. Yeah. You could even keep them in there if you wanted to. You know what I mean? So, yeah, to me, that's a cool addition to that collection.
Absolutely.
So it'll be interesting to see what that goes for.
What's the difference between a 1 cent and 5 cent pack, you said, Bill, on those?
Well, they back in the early 50s, they kind of went to this 1 and 5 cent thing. Before that, it was just all 1 cent. And the 5 cent ones are tougher to find. They just... obviously, there were just less of them around, but they cost 5 cents rather than 1 cent, which was a big difference back then. And to find some of the ones where you find a nice 5 cent box, they'll bring 2 to 3 times what a 1 cent box will bring.
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting. He didn't say it. I just figured it was a 5 cent box, so I don't know. He didn't say. We'll find out. It's coming. I'm going to be getting it this week. I saw the cards already. The cards are. It's really
cool.
A cool collection.
That's really cool.
Just seeing a Honus Wagner card, it's not the Honus Wagner card, but any old Honus Wagner card is pretty cool in any condition. That tobacco card in poor condition, if it's graded a 1, those go, I think, like the same as about a Mickey Mantle 7, like 200,000-300,000, don't they, Bill?
Oh, you're talking about
a 1,
Wagner?
Yeah,
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, just for a 1 in the lowest grade. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what these don't go as high, but it'll be interesting to see what they do anyway. I mean, just looking at them, it was so cool.
Well, that's, when I went to the show on Friday, I tried to stop at every table and see what they had, and you could just tell the care and passion that each collector had with what they had and were selling and all that. It was just amazing, the different stories and people connecting to different cards and pictures and banners. It was just amazing.
When you go to those big shows, it's sometimes like a traveling museum.
Absolutely.
Some of the stuff that you can see there.
I could have stayed there another 10 hours and not gotten through everything I wanted to see and ask about. And it's a lot of fun.
Did you mention on the air the big time card you picked up there, Vince?
So I'm looking through this guy's box. He's got them anywhere priced between $1 and $6. And I see a Lou Brock card, 1964 card, where in a Cubs uniform where they scratched out Cubs and put cards in its place. And I just had to have it. The guy was asking $4, but I insisted on paying him $5 because that card just connects with the day I was born, which is the day that the Cubs traded Lou Brock to St. Louis. Ernie Broglio.
Ernie Broglio. Ernie Broglio had a couple good years, I think, in a couple years before that.
Yep.
But I'm pretty sure by the time the Cubs got him, his arm was
gone. Yeah, he won like 7 more games the rest of his career, like that.
I think he had a 21-game
prior
season
to this,
and a couple good years. And the Cardinals, they were snickering through that whole deal.
Yep.
That's the only time that I ever remember reading. No, I don't remember the trade at the time, but I remember hearing about it later that Ernie Banks was really unhappy with that trade when they made it. Yeah, because he could see the talent. Think if the Cubs had had Brock leading off in the rest of those 60s teams, they really might have won a couple of World Series in that time. But now we don't have to worry about it anymore. Because
right now we're on top of the world.
There still are people that you can tell when they come into T-Crown, they're like, Did they actually win the World Series? There are people who just thought that they were going to do it this year, no matter what. And other guys, I still think it hasn't completely sunk in yet.
To be down 3-1
yeah.
and to come back and win the World Series, that's just amazing in and of itself.
Yeah.
The fact that it's the Cubs is just, you know, Cloud 9000, not just Cloud 9. I'm living on Cloud 9000.
Now, did you watch like every inning? Or
every second, yeah. every inning, everything.
I think I watched every inning of the whole thing. It was an interesting series. It was a roller coaster, without a doubt. But very, very fun, without a doubt. Okay, the number here is 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. Taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We're giving away a 2016 Donruss football factory set and a Chicago Cubs 2016 World Series champions big book of activities to one caller. Or if you tweet a picture of an item, T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID and we use it on the show, you get in the drawing for the prize, and the winner, Vince will pick the winner at the end of the show, and ERC Delivery will deliver it to the winner free of charge as long as they email Vince by Thursday. Here's something that's kind of interesting that got emailed to me by a listener. He had 1932 and 1935 Cubs World Series ticket stubs from Wrigley Field games, and these were owned by his grandfather, and you could tell his grandfather wasn't interested in keeping them mint. They had a bunch of wear on them, and it turns out his grandfather had kept them in his wallet for over 45 years. I have them on pictures of them on T Crown Tom, my Twitter ID. Really cool story. He kept them in his wallet for over 45 years,
awesome.
The two World Series tickets, just waiting for them to win, and passed away, passed them on to his grandson, sure. and there they are, and they finally won one.
It's
those type, the amount of years that this World Series really, the impact is incredible. Well, hang in there, we'll be right back, folks.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time talking about collectibles, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles, and then we're giving away a 2016 Donruss football factory set plus a Chicago Cubs World Series champions big book of activities, the one caller, or if you tweet a picture of an item to my attention at @TCrownTom is my Twitter ID, and we use it on the show, you get in the drawing. Here's something, an interesting item that ended in the Huggins and Scott November auction, another basketball item. And remember how we've talked about people where the 1980-81 Topps basketball set, they perforated the cards. So like the Bird Magic rookie, it's Bird Magic Irving, and there's two perforations in there. And it's like, why would people have, you know, why would they, first off, why would you put perforations in it? And then a kid, of course, is going to think, should I rip this thing or leave it? So a lot of people ripped them. Well, Huggins and Scott sold a box of packs in their November auction, 80-81 Topps basketball, 36-count wax box, and it sold for $4,600. And when you look at the picture of the box, they've got the Bird Irving Magic card on the front cover, and they've got the one, like the perforation ripped, like off to the side, like it's geez, ripped. Really? So they basically, if people followed the advice of Topps and they ripped them apart, they actually hurt the value quite a bit on their stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you opened a blindfolded or whatever, and then you didn't see that, but isn't that something?
That is a little unique.
Now, Bill, what would the difference in value be if somebody came in to you and they had, let's say, a PSA 9 graded Bird Magic Irving card with all three of them together, or if they came in with really nice ripped little pieces of the Bird Irving and Magic card?
Oh, I think we're talking the difference between 86 Lear packs and 88 Donruss packs.
Yeah, right, where it's a huge difference. So come on, Topps. Well, I guess Topps learned their lesson, and now they don't even make basketball cards anymore. They only have the baseball license now. Kind of interesting. But meanwhile, they made some good basketball cards mixed in with some kind of questionable designs, I guess.
And there's short prints on the baseball, Topps Now cards. That was
they're doing a lot
decision.
Of good baseball. So yes. They know what they've got, this Topps Dynasty coming out that they're, it's like a $300 pack with one card. And each card is an autographed patch card numbered to 10 or less.
Wow.
And it's a really good player collection. That's going to be coming. I mean, anywhere from 99-cent packs up to that type of stuff. Wow. They're doing it all in cards now. Dave from Manhattan is on the line. Are you in New York or Manhattan, Illinois, Dave?
Oh, it's Manhattan, Illinois.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. What do you have?
I got a question for you guys. I got Upper Deck authenticated Mickey Mantle autographed baseballs.
That's
I bought one for myself, and I bought three more for my groomsmen for my wedding in 95. I don't know if you remember the old service merchandise stores.
Oh, sure, yeah.
They had them for $79.99 each. So.
That was a good buy, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
I would have been one of your groomsmen if you had asked, Dave.
Yeah, no kidding. So my brother, just of all people, I told him, I said, take care of this. It's going to be worth some money. He kept his on his dresser, and he had a German Shepherd who got a hold of his. Chewed that one up. I got the other groomsmen got it, and I'm just curious what those are actually worth.
Well, Bill, what do you think of a Mickey Mantle single sign baseball that is Upper Deck authenticated compared to one that isn't Upper Deck authenticated?
Well, you could probably add a zero to what you paid for those, which is about what they're worth today.
Yeah,
They've gone up 800? About 10 times that.
Yeah.
As long as you've got all the paperwork and the little green bag that it came in and you have all that.
Oh, I got everything, yeah. I mean, everybody, I told them, I said, make sure you keep all this, so.
That would be an interesting right. Huggins and Scott auction, one of those mantle balls with the bag and everything.
Those before. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they did now.
Have they gone for the 800 or?
What's that?
Have they gone for about 800 or?
Yes, they have, definitely, as long as they've got all the paperwork. And as long as the ball itself has not toned or and the signature is still strong and crisp and clear.
Yeah, no,
is there any inscription on it, or is it just Mickey Mantle?
No, it's just Mickey Mantle. It's, you know, like I said, it was from Service Merchandise, so.
Yeah. Very good.
They're $750 to $1,000 if they're really, really nice.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, good to hear.
So we may be seeing that in a Huggins and Scott auction coming up,
maybe
Dave.
Someday. Yeah. I collect the stuff, and I just don't like giving it up, you know?
It's hard to let it go. It's hard to let something go.
Speaking of the German Shepherd chewing up of the ball, that reminded me of a story that Whitey Ford told on the show one time when he was a guest. They were in spring training in the early 1960s, and a Secret Service agent, after a spring training game, said, "I'm looking for Whitey Ford." And he's like, what did I do? They tended to have a good time, especially at spring training. So he goes, "Yeah, that's me." And he said, "President Kennedy's father wants to meet you, Yogi Berra, Mickey Mantle, and I think it was Tony Kubek was the fourth guy, after the game. We'll drive you there if you guys wouldn't mind seeing him." So he was like, "Sure." So Whitey Ford was a collector. He liked to collect signed baseballs and things. So he said they went, and Mr. Kennedy had already had the stroke, so he wasn't able to talk much, but he could listen to their stories and laugh. And they were there for an hour or so telling stories. And before they left, Whitey had brought a 12-pack of baseballs with him. And he said, "Mr. Kennedy, I know I'm asking a lot here. If you can't, I completely understand, but would you be able to get us President Kennedy single signed baseballs?" And he did. I guess a couple months later, I think it was a dozen JFK single signed baseballs showed up. Well, Whitey kept them, but he gave one to Yogi, one to Mickey, and one to Tony Kubek, who I think was the fourth guy with him. It might have only been four balls, and he kept them all, or he ended up keeping one. But he said he was in the early 90s, he was reading Sports Collector's Digest and saw one of the single-signed baseballs. Somebody was asking like $30,000 or something. Wow. So he gets on the phone, calls them all up. He goes, "Yogi's still up in the attic looking for his." I guess what happened was they had their kids play with them.
Yep.
You know, they just went, "Yeah, this is cool," but they didn't keep them. Whitey was the only one who kept his. And I guess he had a really nice one.
Really?
Have you seen a single signed JFK ball recently in an auction, Bill?
I don't think I have. Not. We've had some signed photos and things like that.
Yeah.
But a single signed JFK, yeah, you could be talking six figures.
Yeah, wow. I think now that would be something. So, I guess
time travel.
Yeah,
it's all about the time travel. Yeah. Let's figure it out.
Of course, I don't know if we'd be able to get those even if we went back in a time machine.
At least
now,
we
could go to 1952 and stop that tugboat that was dumping all the 52 tops into the ocean. That's where I'd go first. There's some pretty good time travel TV shows
Absolutely.
On there, aren't there?
Yep, yep. We talk about that a lot, we, off the air.
Yeah, both time tunnel's kind of fun. Let's see, what's that one that you were talking
about? Frequency?
We started watching that. That's interesting, where they've got the daughter is a detective, and she's communicating via like a shortwave radio with her father, who was a detective, 20 years previously?
Yeah, and it's taken after the
murder
movie with
mysteries.
The Frequency movie with Dennis Quaid.
Okay,
maybe a dozen years ago.
So that one's based on that. The other show, Timeless, I think it's called, is more like the old time tunnel, just kind of, it's goofy storylines, but it's more of a modern day where they jump in this machine and they voop off, and they always go to these historic events, which that's what I always wondered with the time tunnel. Why do they always end up where the, okay, it just happens to be
coincidentally
Custer's last stand or whatever.
Yep. Or when Wilkes Booth is walking into the theater to shoot Abraham Lincoln.
Right. But on this one, they're doing it for, because they're chasing this other guy who's able to time travel,
it's
who's going to these other things.
Yep.
So if you like time travel TV shows, if you miss the time, then you want to watch these. I like them both. I don't know what it is about time travel shows that I think are fun, but those are definitely fun.
Well, if you discover a way to do time travel, you got to take me with you. So you got to promise right here, right now.
Right.
You know,
maybe we just, maybe we really just got here in a time machine. Who knows?
You never know what the truth
really
is.
What are we doing sitting here on State Street doing a radio show?
Yeah. Right now? With the Cubs as World Series champs and Trump as president. Wife's like, it's Armageddon.
None of this has really happened. I think this is all a fantasy. And Fantasy Football Frenzy is up next with Jeff Meller and Chris Black after our show.
About
if you
minutes.
Can just hang in through, listen to us a few minutes longer. Let's go back to some items that have ended in a Huggins and Scott auction. Okay, we've already, well, you know what? Which ended higher? Okay. I've got another one of these.
Okay.
This one, once again, it's not an easy one, Vince. I'm not going to try to throw you off.
Sure.
Okay, which ended higher? A 1967 Topps Rod Carew rookie card number 569, graded PSA 8. A 1948 Leaf, Ted Williams card number 76, graded PSA 5, or a 1952 Topps Andy Pafko card number 1, PSA 6. Now, we've said that, what that ended at last week, so you might remember what that one ended at, but which of those three? It's a 1967 Topps Rod Carew PSA 8. That's his rookie card, a 1948 Leaf Ted Williams PSA 5, and a 1952 Topps Andy Pafko card number 1 PSA 6.
I've heard over time out of your mouth that the Pafko is a real tough card to get in good condition, so I'm going with the Pafko.
Very good.
Thank you.
You would be correct. That is the highest of those three cards. I thought maybe you'd think, we had talked about that. Okay, you're just doing what you're thinking
now. My
memory
worked on that one.
There you go. The Pafko went for
$1,600. Nice.
The PSA 5 Ted Williams 1948 Leaf card, $1,400. And a PSA 8 Rod Carew rookie, $1,100. Now, if those other two cards were in PSA 8s, they would have gone much higher. A path going in 8, Bill, that's got to really be a tough card. That would go for pretty big money, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, gosh. You could be 50,000 on something like that.
I guess that card number 1, a lot of guys at that time frame had rubber bands on them, and the cut wasn't the greatest. Is that the deal with it, Bill, that it's so hard to get in nice condition?
The number one card, in all those sets. I guess the theory is kids carried them around in their pocket and they put them in number order, and number one was always on top.
Yeah, and a lot of them had rubber bands at the time.
Oh, yeah, or just wear from the inside of your pocket.
Yeah, true, yeah. You know, I still see people bring in cards with rubber bands sometimes. I'm always like, especially when they have some nice vintage stuff. Yeah. It's like, because it puts in the little dents in the sides of the cards, which is its corners, edges, surface, and centering. Those are the big things they look for in a card. So if there's little dents in the edges, that brings down the value some.
Yep.
But if I had a Honus Wagner with dents on the edges, I'd still be happy. I've never seen the real Honus Wagner card come into Teak Crown. That would be it. Someday, if anybody's sitting on one out there, bring it into Triple Crown in Naperville. We'll send it to a Huggins and Scott auction. It will get it graded first. If it's a 1, it'll go for $200,000 or $300,000. If it's a better grade than that, it'll go for more than that. Well, somebody's got to have one out there. What are there? Maybe, Bill, 50 of them that I think the Honus Wagner tobacco cards that have been found out so far?
Yeah, maybe a little more than that. But, it's the mystique behind it as well that carries the big value on that.
Yeah, that's for sure. They had the one that Gretzky owned at one time and got graded, and it had all the problems with it and all that with it. So we've got time for one more quick call here. John from Schaumburg is on the line. What do you have there, John?
I've got a Brian Piccolo autograph on a $2 bill.
Oh, I like nice. That, actually. It seems to me that Piccolo autographs go for a minimum of $500. So I've seen his photos go for more than that. A $2 bill, I don't know, Bill Huggins, what do you think? Does that go for more? I think that might be good.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a lot of people that collect signed money. We had a Donald Trump signed $2 bill or dollar bill in one of our last auctions that got $500 or $500. So Piccolo would certainly beat Donald Trump, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's a tough autograph, and the whole movie bringing that story out to the public really was big. So, that'd be a good Huggins and Scott auction item. I'd like to see what it goes for. And it's time to do the drawing.
All right, this week's winner is Dave from Naperville. So, Dave from Naperville, email me, vincityorcdelivery.com. Send me your address, and I'll deliver this week's prizes to your door free of charge.
Or, you know, even if he doesn't, being since
that he's in
I
Naperville,
have him at Naperville, the prize is still. So, actually, Dave, if you want to, if you pick him up at Triple Crown in Naperville, that'd be the easiest thing. Just do it that way, since that's where you
email
are.
Email me. Let me know what you want to do.
Yeah, very good. And don't forget, now check out HugginsandScott.com. Ricky Huggins is at the card show, the Fanatic show in Rosemont this weekend, so he'll still be there today. If you have something, you can bring stuff into Triple Crown in Naperville all day long. And hang in there for the Fantasy Football Frenzy with Jeff Miller and Chris Black.